now for something different.
Completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day, jumping the gun. Jumping the gun. Plus, we're going to examine what it means when somebody says, Lord, I'm not skilled. I'm not skilled. Then we're also going to take a peek at the cost of real Christianity. Ooh. And then we'll close it out with, He must increase.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics? Nope, not this hour. Entertainment? Maybe. And current events? Personal revelations? Spiritual observations? My life's insanities? And oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's a newspaper with a voice. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, right here on K-PRAISE AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, and then we're coming back. But stand by.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Hi, this is Scott Wilder. I'll be with you in San Diego for a wonderful cause, something we're going to do together for American Leprosy Missions. Amazingly, leprosy still exists in the world, and what we're going to do together is cure 200 kids of leprosy. You can call right now, 800-443-0838, and join us curing children. Or join me Tuesday and Wednesday throughout the day and on the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A couple things to let you know right out of the gate. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com is the best way to do it. You're always welcome to call. You're always welcome to call the station and leave a message on my voicemail. But email is actually probably better. Also, another really good way, go to The David Spoon Experience on the Facebook page, The David Spoon Experience. And then there's the private messaging thingy you can send me, That thingy, too. Okay. We have got something. I think this is going to be a blessing for you. I hope it is. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that it is a blessing for you. We're going to be starting off with a DDD called Jumping the Gun. Jumping the Gun. It's a message that I have massaged throughout my walk. You know, not really a message as much as an important communication element that, I don't know, you just know that there's truth in it, but I still am trying to attain to it. Might be a nice way to put it. Still trying to process through it. Let's start off talking about this out of Acts chapter 7, verses 20 through 22. At this time, Moses, this is Stephen giving a recounting of the events that took place for the nation of Israel when he is giving his testimony share. This is before they stoned him and killed him. Of course, he's giving a recounting. And he says, at that time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight, and he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. And when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. So I want you to catch that. He was mighty, catch that, in words and deeds. Moses had a great start in life, per se. He had a tough time because he was born. His parents thought he was great, and they were fearing for his life. But after Pharaoh's, you know, daughter grabbed him and adopted him, that became a completely different life, didn't it? He grew up in Pharaoh's house. He was educated in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was mighty in word and deeds. What was he mighty in? Word and deeds. He spoke well. He did good things. He did good, made great accomplishments. Nice beginning, right? But sometimes when you have a nice beginning, or sometimes when things are rolling, you can get a little ahead of yourself. Have you ever gotten ahead of yourself in a project? That's when you come up with like a business idea, and you haven't really fleshed out the business idea. You know it's kind of a cool thought, and then you go ahead and you buy the domain name, and you think you should start setting up a checking account because you're going to make $1 bazillion in this business, but you're kind of jumping the gun. You ever done that? I have. So as we move on in the scripture, it says this: when Moses was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wrong, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. Ooh. He supposed that his brothers would have understood that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. On the following day, he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other?" But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" At this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. Catch this. Mo, we'll just call him Mo. Mo had a great big upbringing from when he was 3 months old and up to 40. He had 39 years and 9 months of good upbringing, right? He was 40 years old when he visited his brothers. The first 3 months, he was loved by his parents, but it wasn't the same as being raised in Pharaoh's, you know, in Pharaoh's court. I mean, this is a guy that got all of the advantages of the Egyptian wealth of the highest, most powerful man, you know, arguably on the planet. And when he got older, he's like, "I'm going to go visit my brethren." He thought he was the bomb. He thought he was everything. And he knew, "I'm going to help Israel. I'm the guy that's going to help Israel." But because he didn't process that ministry through the Lord, because he didn't process it with step-by-step directions, step-by-step movement, hand-in-hand with the Lord, being led by the Lord, he just thought he was so good, he was just going to step into ministry and help the Hebrews, because he was a Hebrew, by golly. And they would all rally behind him and say, "You're fantastic. Do you know when Moses entered ministry, he entered too early, and you know what the result of his early ministry was? An Egyptian man died." That was the result of early ministry. because that ministry wasn't God-ordained ministry. That was flesh ministry. And flesh ministry causes pain. And Moses jumped the gun. It wasn't that the Lord hadn't called him. He did call him. It wasn't that he was special and anointed by God. He was. But he took actions in his own power, in his own wisdom, in his own insight, jumped into ministry early, and the result of it was a dead person and Moses on the run. Now, I'm not a genius, but I can tell you, when you get into ministry early, there is that opportunity for flesh to become a part of that ministry a lot easier. When men and women in leadership positions try to control other people, I promise you that is flesh ministry. For Paul made it clear, follow me as I follow Christ. But don't worry, they know how to quote in 15 different languages, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Even though that entire passage is about the children of Israel more than it is about the leaders. The anointed were the people. It's amazing how they get away with this. So the idea is to understand not to let flesh be the forerunner into ministry, because too early in ministry is dangerous. I got a message for you. When Jesus was 12, he had more knowledge than anybody. But you know what 12 years old was? Too early to do the messiahship. That's what it was. Not that he didn't know, but think that through. It's like, no, he had to wait to the right time, the appropriate time. And sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we'll jump early. And here's something that maybe doesn't get talked a lot about because I think it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me. And that is hearing what it is that Moses, how he rose and how he was doing so good. And remember, Acts 7:22, Moses was instructed all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and his deeds. That's what the scripture says, that he was mighty in his words and his deeds. That's when he was 40. Now, what we're going to find out when we get back is what God had to put Moses through, or what I would say is the life seminary that God had to put Moses through before it was time where he could enter ministry. So when we see ministry, that doesn't mean that we immediately go forward and do all of that ministry. Even Paul, if you'll read the writings in the book of Galatians, after he made his initial presentation, took several years, 14 I believe it is, as he was being trained up and learning the way and understanding and growing. There's a lot of development that takes place. That doesn't mean God can't use you. But that's a lot different than claiming a mantle, going around and telling everybody what to do, and assuming that you have the authority because you had a nice beginning. That's a little more dangerous. And as you can see in this story right here, Moses' early entry caused pain. There's one thing we're trying to do in ministry is not create more pain. That's not the goal. The goal has been, is, and will always be to reflect more of the glory of Jesus Christ in the things that we say and do as we advance the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we should be doing. Don't tell me about needing to have a whole bunch of people who look like you. We need a whole bunch of people. We don't need a lot of people looking like me. The Lord knows I'm ugly enough. We need a whole bunch of people looking like Jesus. That's what we need in ministry. We come back, we're going to catch something that's kind of interesting, showing that it's when we begin that we really end, and that when we end, we really begin. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, now we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesmus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger. They are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Maybe they think they don't think that you're
right. Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
1 minute. A fake U.S. embassy. That's what officials discovered in the African nation of Ghana. The quote-unquote staff sold all kinds of counterfeit documents. Just like that embassy didn't really represent the U.S. government, there are religions and teachers who claim to represent God's kingdom, but really don't. And the Bible has a lot of warnings about those false teachers. One of them is in 1 John.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world.
So, how do you test teachers? See if they agree with the Bible's teaching that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who came to earth as a man, that he died for our sins and rose from the dead, and that he is the only way to God the Father. Basically, you test the spirits by comparing their teachings to the Bible's teachings. We can tell you more at this website, findpeacewithgod.net, from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Boy, we're in the middle of one right now. Going after a DDD that is challenging the notion of fleshly ministry. Jumping in too early, jumping in without the direction of the Lord, jumping in because you think you're prepared without God saying time to go. The disciples did not walk away from Jesus and go out and do ministry until he said go. That's an important part. It doesn't mean you can't witness, share. I don't care if you're a Christian for 1 minute. You can share the gospel with anybody. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that go into ministry with such a mindset as to not wait upon the Lord. You imagine if the disciples went before Jesus said, go. Bad call, right? That's what we're talking about. And we're talking about Moses because he's like the prime example. You're thinking, what are you talking about? Well, he went early. And the result of his early entrance into ministry was the death of an Egyptian and a disruption in the cultural society there, people already spreading rumors about one another, knowing that Moses, in his actions and in his ministry approach, had died as a result of that. And one of the things I wanted to bring out, one of the most important things, was that in Acts 7:22, it says, Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and in deeds. You're thinking, why is that important? Crucial. It's crucial for us to understand. That's why this segment is called Lord, I'm Not Skilled. Do we have a sound for that?
Nobody's going to go out with me.
Have you asked anybody yet?
No, but who would? I don't even have any good skills.
What do you mean?
You know, like nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Nunchuck skills. That's a great line. Here's why that is important. Because the skilled, when they start off in ministry, can often think, get this is really important. I've got all the skills I need. Ooh. Well, let's look at Moses. Because it was 40 years when he went and did this visitation for the children of Israel, and he entered ministry too early. Then Moses was on the backside of a desert for another 40 years. So he jumped in a bit early. Guess what Moses did for the next 40 years? He tended sheep and did nothing. Well, he rose a family. I'm not saying that's nothing. But I'm just saying ministry-wise, he learned to care for his own. And he learned to understand the patience of life and the patience in things. So the Lord speaks to Moses. People are pretty familiar with the burning bush scenario. I'm going to go out on a limb and think you kind of know what I'm talking about. And then Moses does this. He says to the Lord, Exodus 4, 10 through 12, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. Since you have spoken to your servant, I am slow of speech and of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who made him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." Now, don't you find it amazing that earlier Moses was defined as somebody who was mighty in words and deeds, mighty, and many people say, well, that words has to do with authority. And you're probably right. It probably does have to do with authority because he was in the court of Pharaoh. But look what he says to the Lord 40 years after going into ministry too early, 40 years sitting on the backside of a desert, 40 years doing nothing but raising his family and tending sheep. He goes, "I don't speak good." And it was almost as though the Lord was like going, "Okay, have we gotten you to the point where you're done telling me you're a good speaker? Have you now realized you can't do anything without me? Because now that you're done, now that you're not that great in speech, now I'm going to use you as a spokesman." It's almost as though, and I don't want to, you know, belabor the point, although I will in the next segment, it's as though the Lord waits for us to catch a glimpse that we are wholly inadequate and lacking skills before he says, "Well, now's the time." And you wonder why the Lord does that? Can I tell you why? Because then you know that the ministry you do is from God. That's why. Rocket science? No. Simple. When we get to the end of ourselves, we get to the beginning of ministry. When we are dependent on the Lord, then the Lord directs the ministry. When we realize that we have no strength in of ourselves and that our dependence is fully on him, then we're getting close. You know this passage. I talked about it the other day, but I want to talk about it again just real briefly. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. "So to keep me from being conceited because of their surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" And when we are at the end of ourselves, then we are ready. And when we recognize we don't have the necessary skill set, then we are close. Because then it's going to take an act of God for us to do anything good in the kingdom or anything productive in the kingdom, and that's what he wants. He didn't choose you into his kingdom, in his ministry, in his purposes, because you are so fantastic that God, he can't even consider doing it without you. How could the Lord ever do this without me? And that's how some people, by the way, go to church. "This church is lucky to have me." It's like, really?
The Lord doesn't need anybody. He chooses people, and those vessels are the best vessels when they come to an end of themselves and they go, it's all you, because I can't do this. When we acknowledge our weaknesses while loving and serving God, then His strength has the opportunity to shine in our lives. Did you hear that? When we acknowledge our weaknesses while loving and serving God, then His strength has the opportunity to shine in our lives. You think I'm not going to repeat that a third time? You're wrong. When we acknowledge our weaknesses while loving and serving God, then His strength has the opportunity to shine in our lives. That's important. I'm not saying you can't witness for Jesus, and you know I'm not saying that. I think anybody can witness for the Lord. And I think people saying you have to be perfect before your witness are biblically inferior in their understanding. But there is this notion that people can do God's things without God because they have skill sets. And I'm just saying right now, if you think you have mad skills that God needs, you're wrong. You think you have skills that the Lord can use as soon as you surrender them to Him, you're right. But one, remember who gave you the mad skills. Two, remember who gives you breath. And three, you really don't want to be arrogant about that, because when you're walking in pride, you're fighting against God versus when you're walking in humility and then He's fighting for you. Well, what do you think is a better plan there? Well, let's see. Let's see. God fighting against me. God fighting for me. God fighting against me. God fighting with me. God fighting. If you have to ask that question, you're in bigger trouble than you know. Right? When we come back, I'm going to take it to the oomph degree, the cost of real Christianity as defined by Jesus. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Take a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hi, this is Scott Wilder. I'll be with you in San Diego for a wonderful cause, something we're going to do together for American Leprosy Missions. Amazingly, leprosy still exists in the world, and what we're going to do together is cure 200 kids of leprosy. You can call right now, 800-443-0838, and join us curing children. And join me tomorrow and Wednesday throughout the day and on the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hudson Taylor said, "God's will done in God's way will never lack God's supply."
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Po Fong Chia. Imagine going on a trip without luggage, no basic necessities, no change of clothing, no money or credit cards. Sounds both unwise and terrifying, doesn't it? But that's exactly what Jesus told His 12 disciples to do when He sent them out on their first mission to preach and heal. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff," said Jesus. "No bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt." Yet later on, when Jesus was preparing them for their work after He was gone, He told His disciples, "If you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one." So what's the point here? It's about trusting God to supply. When Jesus referred back to that first trip, He asked the disciples, "When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" And they answered, "Nothing." The disciples had everything they needed to carry out what God had called them to do. He was able to supply them with the power to do His work. Do we trust God to supply our needs? Are we also taking personal responsibility in planning? Let's have faith that He will give us what we need to carry out His work. Sometimes we need a little extra motivation to help us spend time in God's Word each day. And now it couldn't be easier with email devotionals from Our Daily Bread. Sign up for the daily encouragement at getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesimus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger. They are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We have been going after it. Sometimes you just got to go for it when you're getting into the teachings and just hope, or the communications, just hope that they're a blessing in some way, shape, or form. We have started this whole discussion talking about jumping into ministry early. We're not talking about sharing about Jesus, witnessing about Jesus. We're talking about people that jump into ministry, jump into their calling, and jump in too quickly. It has often been said by many believers that they feel that God's timing moves a little slow, but God's timing has never moved slow. He who created time for our benefit does not move too slowly. His timing is perfect to the moment, to the absolute moment. Ours, on the other hand, I don't know. You ever done something that was too quick or too late? If you ever paid a late payment, you did something too late, right? Come on. You ever do something that's too quick? Here's one of the things that pastors, when I was getting together in Flagstaff, and the pastors would get together, we would talk and pray with one another, which we did on a pretty regular basis. We used to all talk about the fact that if we knew what God's plan was for us individually, that the majority of us acknowledged that we would try and fulfill it and let it, instead of letting it unfold, as it would unfold and you would process and walk through. If you knew it was you would do this and this and this, most of us would start putting our energy towards that, trying to fulfill it, not waiting for God. It's not abnormal for people to jump the gun, folks. That's not weird at all. But it is important in our lessons, not just for ministry, but in the walk that we have with the Lord, in anything that we're doing, to make sure that we're on pace with the Lord. If you need a great example of who thinks God moves too slow, just look at Martha and Mary in John chapter 11, John chapter 10, how they're super duper, 10 and 11, really, they're super duper happy that Jesus took his time getting there for Lazarus. If you'd been here earlier, then he wouldn't have died. I mean, that was the line. Wait, both sisters said it. So you know something's going on there, right? It's like, come on, God, speed it up. You know, like that happens with us. All right, so I want to get into this one part, though, because what we really were keying in on is the fact that when we come to an end to ourselves, this is where the beginnings really emerge. In other words, when you go in with your wild skill set and tell God, this is how you're going to do it, and I know how to handle it, and I've got it all covered, you're basically telling God you're going to advance his kingdom under your insight and your wisdom, and he can just watch you and be proud of you. Now, does that seem like a good idea when I say it that way? No. That seems like dumb. That seems like a dumb idea, right? Because you're not going to tell God how to do something. We need to sit there and do everything we do in partnership and concert with God, but he takes the lead, right? You don't tell him how you're going to do it, right? So Jesus had this teaching in John chapter 12, which I don't want to say this teaching is a frustrating teaching. That would not be accurate. I will say this is a challenging teaching, and it's the cost of real Christianity, especially if you're looking to go into ministry or do something forward in the kingdom of God. This comes out of John chapter 12, verses 20 through 25, says this. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these people came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves this life loses it. And whoever hates this life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Ow. That's my response. Jesus is talking to everybody. I'm using the application for ministry, but you all know in the sense of discipleship, when you got saved, Jesus is your Savior. Now the process is Jesus being your Lord in each and every area. When you said, yes, you were a convert, now that you're becoming like Jesus, you're a disciple. Big difference. And Jesus lays it out in John chapter 12 in a way that I think if you were honest or we were earnest with one another, there is a scariness to what he's saying, because he says it very plainly. Truly, truly, verily, verily. Specifically, listen to what I'm going to say. It's super duper important. I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You want to do great work in ministry? You got to die. Sorry. You think all the things that Jesus did in ministry were fantastic, right? I mean, there's not one person who would argue that the core of Christianity in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John from Jesus' birth all the way to his ascension, it's fantastic what he's done. But without the resurrection, without resurrection, it's just a philosophy. But with the resurrection, it's truth. And that's the difference. So unless Jesus died and then rose again, the ministry could not have the final affirmation and confirmation that it needed. And if you want to go into ministry, and that's a pursuit that you have, it's a vocation you desire, you need to understand one thing. You might go into this thinking that you're on the top of the world, sitting on a pedestal. By the time the Lord is done pulling you through his divine seminary, you're going to be good and dead. Until he resurrects you and you become a different person. You think, well, that doesn't seem right. Nobody cares. It's God's program. He's the coach. He's the trainer. He's the recruiter, so to speak, and you're going to follow his program because that's the only program there is. You want to be involved in advancing the kingdom of God? Then keep in mind what that title is, Kingdom of God. Not your kingdom, not the kingdom that you think it should be, not the kingdom that you, the way you think it should be, the kingdom that God wants. That means the first call is to die. You know when Moses became ready for ministry? When he was done being who he thought he was. Then he was ready. You know when you're ready? When you're done being who you think you should be and you become who God wants you to be. That is substantially different. Does that mean that everybody is called to full-time professional ministry? No. But this really has to do with discipleship more than anything else, because Jesus said, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That applies to everybody. But I am doing a little bit of a specific address to those that want to get involved in ministry, be connect to a church in such a way as to advance ministry. It's fantastic that you want to do that. I want to encourage you in that. First thing I'm going to tell you to do, the best thing I'm going to tell you to do, is in your relationship to the Lord, learn to die quickly. Because the bigger fight you put up in the flesh, the longer it's going to take. And if God has to take you and put you on the backside of the desert for 40 years while you're looking at sheep and raising a family, he will. Because his seminary is an unusual seminary. King David was blessed to be anointed by Samuel as king, wasn't he? You know what his seminary was? He was being chased like a dog by Saul, who was trying to kill him. King Saul was hunting for him, and David was living in caves. Sounds like a fun seminary, doesn't it? But God was beating the Saul out of David. Ooh, that's good, right? So sometimes we have to come to an end to ourselves to begin in him. What I want you to get is how important that is. Because if you really love the Lord, if you really want to do his work, if it's really your passion, then you will do whatever it takes to present yourself to him, even if it means being a grain of wheat that falls into the earth and dies. Right? Right. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back with the final installment. Don't go anywhere. Every time you say you love me,
national and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The world is changing. Don't get caught unprepared. Join the For Such a Time as This conference, February 17th and 18th at Calvary Chapel, Oceanside. How can you not only survive, but spiritually thrive during these challenging times? How is Israel God's prophetic timepiece? What are our God-appointed callings in these times? Hear powerful, inspirational speakers, including the world's foremost Jewish apologist and radio host, Dr. Michael Brown, co-host of the Way of the Masters TV show, Ray Comfort, and Tom Doyle, the award-winning author of Dreams and Visions in the Muslim World and Terrorism, Living Your Faith When It's Not Safe. Plus, you'll be able to see the world's only complete set of ancient Old Testament scrolls and experience Tabernacle Alai, a life-size reenactment of the biblical tabernacle. Don't miss For Such a Time as This, Israel, Islam, and the Church, President's Day weekend at Calvary Chapel, Oceanside. Only $19 through February 1st, $34 at the door. Space is limited. Register at IsraelNowConference.com. That's IsraelNowConference.com.
Hey, K-Praise friends. Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
This is Hugh Hewitt for townhall.com. January 22nd marked yet another anniversary of the Supreme Court's 1973 Roe v. Wade decision. The legacy of that decision is a startling number, 58,586,256 abortions. Shame, shame, shame on America. Over 58 million lives that were not let. 58 million lives of joy and promise, sorrow and triumph, happiness and pain, but life in its fullness as God intended it to be led. We realize that many of the women who had abortions over the past 40 years regret their decisions, and that the recollection of their decisions is painful. We do not wish to cause pain or to judge lest we be judged. But we do know that this has been terribly, terribly wrong, and we quote Jefferson when he said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just." We sorrow over the 58 million individual lives not lived. We also grieve the collective devaluing of human life that has been the result of years of abortion on demand. And with Jefferson, we tremble for our nation. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. All right. We've been going after it without reservation. What'd you say? I mean, tugboat, this would be going after it, right? This is kind of like,
yeah.
Yeah, right? Challenging?
Challenging.
Okay. Insightful from time to time, I think. Motivational, I hope. But most importantly, educational in the context of us maybe getting a grip on things.
I would say eye-opening.
Yeah, I would think it's important for people to understand that, you know, when we're talking about this kind of stuff, you know, that should take that prosperity gospel stuff and pretty much flush it down the toilet permanently. So you got to be kidding me. You got to die in order to get there. I don't know what that is. That's not lying in anybody's pockets. I don't care what anybody says. But then I've had some people actually say to me, well, you don't want to say that, you know, you don't want to do that because, you know, what are you going to say? You're going to tell the Lord, give me patience, and then the Lord will give you patience. Yeah, and because I love Jesus and want to be more like him and I'm not an immature little child, I want to be like Jesus. So there's a problem with that. That's pretty much the end of that conversation when that happens. Let's finish this out here. Really important to understand. We talked about jumping the gun. We talked about people jumping in too early. And we've also discussed Moses, you know, trying to coordinate his life as he thought he should go into ministry early. And the Lord was like not too happy. And the result of his early ministry was death. So that's not a good thing. Causing pain, not a good thing. All the way to the point where Moses got a handle on it and told the Lord, I'm not skilled. And the Lord goes, good, let's go to work. So now it's time to go work. And that's a good thing. And you gotta appreciate that. And then we just came back in acknowledging that when we are weak, we're strong. That's really, when we're weak, there's a greater strength that operates through us. Because when I'm weak, I'm strong because the power of God works through me and it's not me and my power. And then we close that out understanding what the whole process was on the real cost of Christianity, which is dying to ourselves, which is an absolute requirement that if we're going to bear much fruit, we got to die. Because the seed, the grain of wheat that falls into the earth, and if it doesn't die, it just remains alone. But if it dies, it bears a lot of fruit. And if you have a desire to bear fruit for the kingdom of God, you have got to be in that position where the Lord can not just rearrange, but change you. So we close it out with something like Galatians 2:20 because it's just so fantastic what he says. Here's Paul writing In one of the most popular epistles in the New Testament, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Listen to those three words. Those three words. If you and I could seize these three words, we would be so much better off. No longer I. It can be you. It can be we. It can be him. It can be us. It can be church. It can be kingdom people. It can be brothers. It can be sisters. But it can't be I. Get that? It can be all those other things, but it can't be I. No longer I. I has to be removed from ministry to be from the Lord. If it's not about him, it's not. I don't care how flashy it is. It doesn't matter how many people follow. The evidence is not in the multitude of people. The Bible says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do sin. Well, it's not the numbers of people. It's understanding that it's him, not you, not me. It's no longer I.
And that's a big step for many of us to take. Listen to this passage in 2 Corinthians 3:5. It says this: not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. That's kind of a closer, isn't it? If you're going to put a kind of a nail in this and just kind of go, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. If we're operating where our sufficiency is anything but God, then we're not doing it His way. That's just the reality. Ministry is not about the flavor that you and I can bring. Oh, the Lord will use our different flavors. I'm not saying He won't use them. But that's not what ministry is about. Ministry is about loving God and loving His people. Not about the fantastic way that you and I can dress it. Because after all, the gospel is His power. It's His anointing. It's His kingdom. And so when we get those things in line, and I'm not saying you're going to do this perfectly right away, but my brother, my sister, if you've got a passion for God and you've got a passion to be involved in advancing His kingdom and being a part of that process, you must develop a passion to go the route that Jesus went. He put Himself out there and then laid His life down. So you offer yourself and you lay your life down. And when the Lord wants to, and how the Lord wants to, He'll resurrect you and use you so that which you do will touch more than that which you ever imagined, as long as it's Him doing it and not us. I love that, because here's the reality as we close it out. We begin when we end. We begin when we end. Got it? Get it and keep it. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on KPRZ AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ.